it's about 5:29, so we're a minute away from 5:30, which isn't too bad. And so, therefore, the monthly meeting commences with Supervisor Tim Humphrey of District 2. Welcome, Tim.
Good evening, Early. How are you?
All right. How about yourself? I thought I turned something off, but I didn't. Now, let's see.
I'm good.
Right. Excellent.
I'm good. It's been raining a lot lately. We were out by the fairgrounds. It got like 2.5 inches in like 30 minutes, and out by Roosevelt we got like 3 inches in an hour. So there's been lots and lots of runoff, and I'm sure Globe and even Miami had some issues with the runoff. So
interesting you say that, because I think it might have been Thursday, though could have been Friday or Saturday, but we do the EAS alerts for weather alerts, and we had like 11 in a day.
Yeah.
And I was really expecting that the flash floods would commence, but so far we've been relatively lucky.
We have. I think, you know, being able to clean out some of the creeks and stuff made a big difference on helping the water to flow better. I'm hoping that that did well. I know it helped, but I don't know that that's the complete deal of it. But I know being able to clean out the creeks helped, and so we appreciate the funding that we had to enable us to do that. And I think we're supposed to get some rain all week from what the weather station says. So we are putting out sandbags, and so if you need sandbags, please call us, because we have drop off places. And If you're out, let us know, and we'll get some more out there.
No, that's great. We picked ours up at the library, and there were plenty there.
Yeah, and I had a Roosevelt meeting today, and I believe that they're needing some more out there. But, yeah, people are using them. Yeah. So, we're grateful for the funding to help us be able to get those sandbags and get them to drop off places for the people, especially looking. I mean, if you know it's going to rain all week and you've had issues in the past, it's time to get some sandbags.
It's a mixed blessing. You know, I think that so far, I think this is the rainiest season I've seen in years. And overall, even though we don't want the flooding, we need it.
Yeah, I think I was telling somebody today that last year my garden burned up because we went like 100.
Yes.
We went like 100 days over 100 degrees or whatever, no rain. But so last year my garden burned up, and I think this year it drowned.
Oh. No, I know. And then the weeds, my God, between the rain and the heat. I was outside, I swear, there's now a tree. In 2 weeks, it was a little bit of weed, and now it's, you know, I know it's going to be reading Mein Kampf by Friday.
It is.
All right. So I understand that we are graced with a guest. So tell me about him.
We are. And it's Tom Holman, who is our guru with addressing, as well as many other hats.
Mm.
And what, you know, we try to do as supervisors, some of our ordinances were written years ago under a different world. And so as we run into issues, we try to work to get the ordinances updated to where they help people today and not 60 years ago.
Right.
Or back when they were in wagons, because some of our ordinances are really old.
Yeah.
But that's what we have to go by. If we're going by them and they're not really helping the people, then we try to change them. And I have a great appreciation for our staff, because if we decide that we need to work on an ordinance, I'm really grateful for our staff to put forth the effort to help us, because there's a lot of work in rewriting ordinances.
Yeah.
And then you have to get them through the county attorney's office, because if you redo an ordinance, now you're liable for this ordinance instead of the one that was 60 years old. And so it takes quite a bit of work. And Tom has put an awful lot of work into this. And so I'm going to bring him on. Tom, if you're on, would you speak up and say hi?
Yeah, good evening, Supervisor Humphrey.
Absolutely, he's here. The man of the hour.
The man of,
Yeah. And is this John as well?
Well, this is
this is
Raleigh. Raleigh. It's not John.
Oh, Raleigh.
Trust me.
Hi. So, you know, like the supervisor alludes to, changing an ordinance takes a lot of work. And last week we passed a revised ordinance, well, for the addressing, that, you know, and speaking to history, it was initially done in 1991, back when there were only houses and Quest or whoever the telco at the time was. So unless you built a house, you couldn't have an address for them to tie to the database to respond for 911 purposes. Fast forward to today, everybody has cell phones, and your address is really an inferred thing. You know, when you pull up your cell phone to call 911, the address points, or the point of the phone plots on the map, and the nearest address is identified.
Right.
So really a complete reversal of how an address is responded to for 911. So are you with me so far?
Absolutely. Keep going.
All right. So the most recent revision, we haven't done a complete revocation of an address being assigned to a structure. What we have done is acknowledged that, you know, there may or may not be a structure, because there's nobody's, you know, CenturyLink is not stringing new copper lines. So the cell phone market is here. So we've put into place the ability to address vacant land.
Mm-hmm.
The individual can apply for it, so they can have an address.
This explains.
Unfortunately, there are a couple stipulations there. One is that under statute, you have to be in a residence to vote, so you have to have a place of residence. And on vacant land, well, there's no house. And similarly, out in the outlying areas where there may not be route mail delivery, they have the opportunity to qualify for a free P.O. box. A vacant land address does not qualify for that. If you want a P.O. box, you're going to have to cover that cost yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of postal regulations.
Sure.
Something we have no control over.
Now,
but, however, the one of the supervisor's example is, I want to have a apple orchard on my slice of heaven, so how do I get deliveries there? Well, this gives us that mechanism.
Which is great. Now, of course, address changes have been going on for some time, I guess, because of the 911 service. And most people were fairly disgruntled when they had, two numbers in a street, and now they've got four numbers in a direction and an avenue. So I assume some of what your guidelines are have to do with other regulations than what the county sets forth?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, one element is specifically that, all streets will have directional, all streets... there are cases where there might not be a suffix, an avenue, a street, but in most cases there are. And it really comes down to the 911 system being a computer automated thing needs to have records in a reasonable order. Prior to the addressing ordinance coming out, the fire departments had the responsibility for assigning addresses because they were the local responding entity. In today's environment, the Tonto Basin Fire Department is going to respond to Roosevelt, but assistance may come from the Globe Fire Department or externally farther out, so they need, some computerized guidance to get them to the scene of the incident.
Now, why the move from, say, two numbers to four numbers suddenly?
Many of the addresses historically were based on the subdivision lot number.
Mm-hmm.
And those did not follow a logical sequence of numbers like 2, 4, 6, 8 as you proceed up Main Street. And so our addressing ordinance said to allow for expansion, we will assign 1,000 addresses per mile. So the address changes every 5 feet.
Okay.
And so unfortunately, those two-digit addresses, there are a few still in the county, but by and large, they have gone away for a four-digit number. We do have some 2 and 3, and along long stretches of highways, 188, 260, and 177 down to Hayden, those easily become five-digit numbers.
Right. Sure. What constitutes whether it's a street or an avenue?
We do have that. Typically, a street runs north-south and an avenue runs east-west. Mm-hmm. But considering many of our, unlike being in Mesa or down in the valley where there's no geography in the way, so you can lay out these nice square grids, we're constrained by the natural geography. And, we build into the mountains and head up the valleys, and our roadway has to accommodate that, so we don't put a whole lot of direct stock in that suffix.
Okay. And now, for people who get a new address and say, I liked my old address, obviously that's not gonna work for them, but is there any play at all in what's assigned?
Yeah, there's a little bit. When we go to assign an address, if there is some flexibility, I just did one in Pine last week where the math said, here, it's this number, but I could go a little bit either way because we have to look around. While we want to have the logical progression of numbers, that 1,000 addresses per mile does give us a little flexibility. So, I'm not going to say it's 6250,
right,
and you're done. If they want 6248 or 6252 or for whatever numerological reasons, we do try to accommodate that.
Well, that's nice. So if somebody is saying, I hate my address, did they contact you?
Sure. If they want to change it, sure, we can change it. But, we've all moved and had to go through a change of address. We moved from Main Street to 10th Street.
Oh, sure.
You're going to have to change everything. Think about changing your address without actually moving.
Right. No, believe me, I get it. And it would be for the rare individual who has some reason. Like years ago when Ronald Reagan stopped being president and moved near me in Bel Air, his address was 666 and Nancy wouldn't have it. So they petitioned and changed it to 664 and got
right.
That. So that kind of a thing, if there's somebody who just says, I can't stand it. So with that in mind, do you have either an email or a phone number that people can contact if they are in this particular?
Oh, sure. The email address is simple. It's addressing@gila.gov.
Oh, how great.
So okay. That gets us into the addressing department, and me and my analyst, Trish, monitor that address full time, so either one of us could respond.
Okay.
Calling in, my direct phone number is 928-402. Mm-hmm. 8515.
8515. Great. And I'll put that on kqss.net as well. All right. So okay. I'm out of questions. So,
yeah, Tom, I thank you very much. Because the main deal of all of this was to get rural Arizona an address without a house plan. Like he says, when the phone service isn't running copper wire to the house anymore, people still need an address.
Well, yes, and in fact, bless you for this. So one of my tower sites never had an address, and suddenly it does. And so that's easier. Obviously, it's not going to get mail, but when you're trying to tell a contractor where to go, eventually the maps are going to catch up, and they'll be able to use it.
Or the suppliers.
Yeah, not anytime soon.
Right. And
you bring up a very good point. While we are the addressing authority for the county, the automated systems utilized by Google, Apple, all the car navigation, we have absolutely no control over that.
Right, and occasionally you punch in the address and they bring you to New Delhi. But so if it's really if it's really far flung, realize that there's probably an error there somewhere.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much, Tom, for you coming on tonight, and also for the work you did in helping us get vacant land an address.
Pleasure, Supervisor. It was great being here with you guys.
Well, good. Right. Especially in our recreational areas, somebody might be maybe by a lot, maybe by an acre.
Sure.
And if you didn't have house plans, you weren't able to get an address. And it was like, no, we need to change that, especially with the price of lumber and everything today. Not everybody's just going to throw up a house. They just soon buy a $40,000 motorhome that they can drive around in, and they still need an address,
right, or
where they're going to put it. Yeah. Well, no, we won't let them live in a tent.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen some of the lots in Central Heights. All right. All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Okay, everybody. All right. So
okay,
that's
your, yeah. Well, no. Yeah, you're going to have to tell me about some of those places in Central Heights. We've got people living in tents. We need to check that out, Roland.
Actually, I think we did. We had somebody in tent for quite a while, but last time I saw, the tent is now gone, so we assume they've gone with it. But there are some things that I'm saying disqualifies as a structure. Yeah. So.
Right. But I, we really needed to change that, because, I mean, one of my deals to Tom was that, hey, what if I got 3 acres and I want a tree farm? I'll never build a house on that property.
Right.
And you won't give me an address, so I can't get my trees delivered. I can't get, so we were having those issues in rural areas. And so he went through the time to help us get that changed. So now vacant land,
that's
you
great.
Can have an address. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, yes, because sometimes, like I say, with my tower sites, the land isn't vacant. Obviously, it's never going to be a home. But with that in mind, you are going to have utilities. You're going to have power. Maybe you're going to have water. And in the past, it's been on your power bill. It'll say near this or at the corner of, or, addresses that are so nonspecific and they don't match up. Now, at least you can say this is the address. So that's good.
Yeah, it is. And on other things, a little closer to home, I met with George Glocko, who is with ADOT, and I met with Chad Cooper, who's with the mines, and we met at the same time. That drainage area that runs between the AMPM and Walmart.
Yes.
It goes underneath the highway over onto mine property. And looking at that, and had some constituents contact me, and went down there and looked. And so I had George check, and if the culvert goes underneath the highway, then it's ADOT's deal, and George said they'd be happy to try to clean it. But there's all, there's at least 2 feet of sediment in that box culvert that runs under the road there. And so there's water backed up into the culvert, and then on mine property, it's not able to drain correctly, so there's just like a little swamp over there. And so we all met trying to get better drainage for that area, like by Bonnie's Pizza and the AMPM, and that area like Miami High School, where it comes down to be able to better drain. And we've got a lot of work to do, because after looking at it and speaking with the mines when we had all that little meeting, everybody kind of went their own directions, and everybody's got their little projects they're working on, and the mines said that they were going to work on getting it blue staked, because I think there may be a Miami sewer line there, and Arizona Water has some utilities there. So right now we're trying to get with the utility companies to see what utilities are there and what elevation those utilities are, to see what we can't do about cleaning out that box culvert and get it to drain on down the creek as it should.
Good.
And so, that was great. God loves our community, because, like I say, be able to get, George and Chad and the county and everybody together at one place and, try to work on things. It's just nice to be in a community where if you have an issue, people are willing to throw in.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of smaller rural areas where you will have that cooperation.
It is. And so I want to thank them very much for their cooperation and looking at that. And it's a long ways out, because one, everybody's busy. Two, the equipment to do it. And three, what are we going to do if it's right at the elevation where the water line is? So we need to, but at least we're addressing that. And so that was good. And fairgrounds, one of my pet peeves, and I've been years and years ago, I used to work at the fairgrounds. It's just kind of been sitting there. So
we were talking about that last month.
Yeah. And so we've done quite a bit of work. There's been some demolition there, and it's been done, and it looks a whole lot better. And on The 2nd of August, the Board of Supervisors meeting, we awarded Sunland Asphalt the contract to remove and replace the asphalt at the fairgrounds up above by the old grandstands, where we'll have that done before the fair. It's expected to be done before the fair, which is September 22nd
away,
to the 25th. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why we went ahead and got on and awarded that project. So where we demoed the old buildings that were not in great shape and maybe a safety hazard for kids wandering away from the fair.
Yeah.
And some of the old crow's nests and things, you know, it's really cleaned up nice, and we're going to get some new asphalt up there before the fair. And so I want to thank everybody that was working on that, and we're trying to move forward, and we're going to have in another arena, a portable arena down where the arena is now,
mm-hmm.
so that in the future maybe we can reach for like high school rodeo finals and things of that nature, because you have to have two arenas in order to do to get some of these events to come to your area. And so some of our funding that we got for infrastructure and rebuilding our infrastructure after COVID, that's what we're using some of it for. So, and I think here, what, later this month, I'm still having that meeting, and we're going to get, hopefully, a board going and get things rolling at the fairgrounds again.
No, that's excellent. I should say, by the way, if you're motivated to call, in the rare and unlikely event you actually want to use your phone, that number is 888-876-5593. Now, shame on you, because Supervisor Humphrey goes to places like Roosevelt where you'd say, well, there's no one in Roosevelt. Yeah, well, there's 16 people at the meeting. So what I'm saying to you is there's easily close to 10,000 people who are in this area. Maybe not all in Tim's district, but in this area. All of you have a phone. Use it. 888-876-5593. Join the meeting. All right. Back to Tim.
Okay, right. Yeah. Recent activities for me. I've attended 3 agenda meetings. I attended a Arizona Office of Tourism Best Marketing Program Award. Went to Discover Gila County.
Really?
Which it's great to
Congratulations.
It's great to get those awards, and when the state of Arizona recognizes you for reaching out and bringing people to Arizona, that's a great thing.
Yeah, is that a website, Discover Gila County?
Discover Gila County. You haven't been on it?
I have not been on it.
Oh,
no.
You need to look.
Right now.
And if you're an employer, you can put jobs on it that you would like filled. And so maybe someone out of Phoenix or Tucson or Casa Grande or Northern California would like to move. They can get on it and see what positions might be open for different work. They can also find realtors if they're wondering what property values are in the area, or kind of what properties are available. Places to eat, places to golf. It's a great website.
This is a very nice website.
It is. And the neat thing about that is when we put this together or decided to go ahead with it, it's you know, kind of business people. It's like, what do you do when you need to promote? You need to advertise. And so we did. And the good thing about it is by creating those tax dollars for gas and motel rooms and things of that nature, then we don't need to reach to the homeowners as much for their taxes. And everything went up during COVID because of the big cities. Everything was closed down. Everybody had to be 6 feet away. Well, people were coming to Gila County to recreate after seeing this website, because there's hiking trails, there's biking trails, there's lakes, there's all kinds of recreational activities. And they do a very good job. Razor's Edge is what's doing that for us, and they do a very good job with it. And I don't know, we received like 7 or 8 awards in the last couple years.
Yeah, Razor Thin Media.
Yeah,
so Discover Gila County Inc. Who is Discover Gila County .inc? Who's behind it? Who are the officers?
I don't have that list in front of me. I I will get it. I think Bruzy Vineyards is one of the people. Mac Feaser, I believe, is one. And I, off the top of my head, I can't think of any more.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a great thing. They do a great job with it, and it is promoting Gila County, and it makes a big difference when you see people walking around with cameras and pointing and stuff. That's all people that are come here, and they're buying lunch and gas and spending the night, and they're helping us because we don't have a great infrastructure like a lot of counties as far as a tax base. So anyway, that was a very good award to go down and witness them to receive it.
That's excellent.
And then I held on Saturday, I held a Gaisela community meeting. And then today at 1 o'clock, I held a Roosevelt community meeting. I'll hold a Tonneau Basin community meeting tomorrow evening. We'll attend a Stagecoach Drainage Project meeting on Wednesday. And we'll attend the Gila County LEPC conference on Thursday.
You're busy.
Well, yeah, I enjoy it, and you know, you got to get out and get in front of people, and you got to know what's going on if you're going to try to help anybody with anything.
No, that's great. Any update on the pool?
Any update on the pool? No.
Did it open?
Mayor Gamaros, why don't you give us a call if you're listening to give us an update on the pool, or Linda Odonato or somebody. Because, yeah, that's a city project, not
right,
a county
yeah.
project.
But did it open, do you know?
You know, I apologize, okay. I don't. I've been tied mm-hmm. up in different directions, and I try to keep my nose out of the city business unless they ask me to see what's going on.
Okay.
So does anybody out there know of what's going on with the pool that they can call in and help us out here, inform the people?
I'm looking at a website now, Globe Community Pool. What's it say? It's got job openings. Well, that's just terrific. All right, I don't know.
They can advertise on Discover Gila County.
Well, they probably could. They're right now. They're not. I don't think, but they absolutely could. Now, anything update on the TRSD
Yes, that's slowly but surely moving forward. I had a meeting with Michael O'Driscoll, head of the health department. And so we're going to, you know, instead of an individual building permit for every hookup for every house, we're working on, with the county attorney, on working a situation to where, or working an ordinance to where anyone that's being hooked up to the new Tri-City, it will be included in the building permit, so we won't have to have an individual building permit for each home.
Well, good.
And so, that's a great thing. You can imagine the man hours that's going to save of doing all the permits individually. We can do a permit that includes that system for everywhere it's needed.
And that's, of course, for new construction or moving or what have you. But for people who are there right now, they still have to fill out their paperwork and do their stuff, right?
Yeah, they would still need a building permit in order to hook up, you know, to the sewer.
All right. So,
but we're working on eliminating doing each individual home.
Wow.
With a building permit. Yeah, it would be kind of a net permit for the project.
Including on existing?
Existing, yes.
Well, that could
be. Because that is on existing.
Right.
Because if there's no building there, we're not going to hook anything up
right.
for. So yeah, it would be kind of a net permit to.
Oh,
to
that yeah, it sounds like that would be very time saving. Because right now, what on phase one, what are we like looking at 3 years before it's all hooked up?
Next time we come, I can get a call in.
Okay.
I sure can. Robert Jock would love to call in.
Oh, well, great.
Robert, if you're listening, ring the phone.
Yeah, and I'd like that too, because I know there's many people who like Central Heights, where the radio station is. That's phase three. And so there are many people who are saying, well, I'll be dead before I have a sewer, you know, and in some cases, yeah. maybe they will, might happen next week. Yeah. But assuming on a reasonable time frame, I think people would be excited to know that it wasn't, say, a decade out.
Yeah, I don't believe at this point it is, but there again, I just run and go, and if something has a problem, I try to back up and deal with the problem.
Yeah.
But then I run and go forward, and there's a lot of things that I don't get the opportunity to back up and check up on, sure, unless I'm asked. Like these public meetings. Like if I was asked questions at some of my public meetings, as you've asked me today, I would get that information for my next meeting. Probably in a month away, people aren't going to much care about the pool, but they will about TRSD. So really, I will either find out that information, or I will invite Robert Jacques to
absolutely
call in and give us some insight on where they're going.
And the pool, actually, you're right, for this year, but it would be good to have updates, you know, say, hey, are we ready to go, say, for next season? When is it planning to open? Because when I said there were job openings, yes, but they were posted on March 14th. So there hasn't been anything done lately. Now, for all we know, it's open. And you didn't call to tell us otherwise, so I don't know about that. But you know, as far as I know, that's a big deal. It won't be coming into winter, but ultimately for the community, a real big deal.
Right. Yeah, when you spend that kind of money, you want a bang for your buck, which is having people in that water.
That's right. Yes, you know? Drag them off the streets, put them in the water.
Yeah. Well, if it's anything like phone calls,
that's
you might
right.
have to.
That's exactly right. Yeah. All right. Have we concluded the meeting?
I guess so. We didn't have anybody call in, and nothing is really striking me real hard. And so other than that, we're just trying to stay up with keeping the roads clean and open with all these storms. You know, I really appreciate the crews. They're out at night. They're out early in the morning trying to keep these roads open and keep them swept.
Yes.
And ditches and stuff up. And it will be so nice when we're on the other side of all this flooding.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely. And it's, you know, we've got a few months here to concern ourselves. So that's good. Now, if you didn't call because you were awestruck and spellbound and say you want to hear this again, the recording of this is going to be on KQSS.net sooner rather than later. And it will replay on KJAA AM 1240 and FM 106.1, 8 a.m. on Sunday. And so with that in mind, let me look for our next meeting, because we always have this information handy for you. And that will come up on September, I can't believe it, the 12th at 5:30.
Okay, Raleigh, we will see you September 12th at 5:30. And everybody out there, thank you. If you need something, or if you want to talk to me about something, good, bad, or indifferent, if you need to talk to me, it's 928-402-4417, and my assistance is 928-402-4418, and that is Terry Links. And so if you have something, a complaint, a concern, please call us.
Absolutely.
KQSS Miami. It's country and more.